Pierre Bernard from Conan on TBS, and welcome to ShowbizMonkey.com.
Around this town, I'm alright. Around this town, I'm alright.
I mean, no consequence when you playing with the fire.
I'll just start by saying, for anyone who might not have seen you on the show or knows what you do on the show, can you just let everyone know what your primary job is on Conan?
My primary job is graphic design on Conan. I do a lot of illustration, and as of late, a lot of the, what you call it, photo manipulations. I work with a team of two other artists, and they're motion graphics people, Steve Robinson and Eric McGilloway. And between the three of us, we do the graphics that you see on Conan every day.
When did you first start working for Conan with the team?
Got it. That was in year one. I believe that was 91 or 92, right after Letterman left NBC and moved on to CBS.
So you've been with him the whole way.
Yeah, I've been with him forever. I think Conan is the longest relationship I've ever had with anyone, including women.
Now, since you're in graphic design, what kind of background did you have that got you into working in television graphic design?
I gotta say, I sort of landed into TV graphics because my background started out... I actually started my career doing comic book lettering years back for Marvel, DC, Heavy Metal, Warren Publishing, a couple of things for Playboy, believe it or not, indirectly. Warren Publishing... It's just, you cover the gamut, Heavy Metal, and eventually went into advertising doing storyboards and comps and presentation work. And the NBC stuff sort of came about because back in my college days, there was a job opening. They were looking for someone once a week, 2 weeks a year to help them out with Letterman. And I applied for that, and I got that position, which was the freelance temp thing. So that when Letterman left, he took this entire crew with him, and they needed someone for the new show, which was Conan at the time. And I happened to be available, and from there, the rest is history.
A lot of people probably recognize you for making appearances on the show. On the old Late Night Show, you were most known for your Recliner of Rage segments. How did the idea for that first come about? Were you approached by a writer? Or?
Yes, the Recliner of Rage was started through Brian Stack. Actually, there's some prehistory to the Recliner of Rage. There was a bit we did called U.S. Quarters on the show where we would make fun of the new quarters that were coming out. And one image in particular was on Alabama at the time. Clinton was our president. And it was of a young Clinton behind a tree with a girl who was servicing him. And the bit went well, and before I knew it, someone had taken the artwork and was minting actual coins with that artwork and selling them on eBay. And a writer here, Michael Gordon at the time, happened to purchase one, and he showed it to me. And we were talking about residuals, and he was telling me since NBC owned the right to that artwork, if anything, NBC would be collecting the residuals and I would get nothing. And I remember complaining throughout the day about that. And it led to, I believe the following day, he wrote a bit where I would come out on air and stand next to Conan's desk and point at the camera and complain to the folks who were making these quarters. Well, that bit went really well. And I would say about 2-3 months down the road, Brian Stack called me up one morning, and we were talking on the phone, and he was asking me if anything interesting or was I having any problems in my life lately. And it so happened at the time, while talking to him, I was trying to convert my, what you call it, record album to MP3 files for my iPod, I mean. And he started laughing, and he told me, write this stuff down. Mm-hmm. I had no clue what this was all going to lead into. Mm-hmm. So I wrote it down, and later in the day, I got the phone call that they wanted me to report to the studio during rehearsal. I was still clueless to what was about to happen. They snapped this photo of me. At the time, I used to not cut my hair, so I had this wild hair and beard going on. They snapped this photo, and then I was told I was going to read what I had written live on air sitting in a recliner. And we did it, and the bit went well. And I thought it was a one-time bit. And before I knew it, it took a life of its own. And I would say we did probably close to 35, 40 recliner rages. Each week I would come in, talk with Brian, and whatever he thought would make an interesting topic, he had me write it up and send it to him, and that's how the Recliner of Rage was born.
Mm-hmm. And it became probably one of the most well-known and popular bits on the show.
Oh yeah, and it was fun. I felt the Recliner of Rage was free therapy, because I was getting paid to complain about my personal issues.
Uh-huh. The Recliner of Rage eventually led to you getting to appear on Stargate.
Yeah, that, oh God, you know, you talk about the gift that keeps on giving. Not only was the Recliner of Rage a reoccurring bit on the show, so I got to take part in the show in that way, in that fashion, but then when I did, I had just started getting into Stargate at the time, and I remembered I was watching an episode where the character of Michael Shanks, Dr. Jackson, talking with aliens and trying to negotiate an issue. I don't remember the episode in particular, but all I remember was there was a lot of talking and I wanted to see action. And the next day, the recliner scene, talking with Brian, we're talking, and I was telling him about my problem with this character on the show, and he told me to write it up, which I did. We did it, and before long, I got a letter from Sci-Fi saying they caught the bit on TV, and if I ever made it to Vancouver to give them a call, they would give me a guest appearance. And it happened. Everyone made phone calls, and I eventually ended up in Vancouver, and it was probably, I felt like that was my Cinderella moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing to watch a show on TV that you love, but to actually be there and interact with the people that you admire, it's incredible. Meeting Amanda Tapping, it's like mind-blowing. You know, Richard Dean Anderson, it was, and then Michael Shanks and Chris Judge, it was just, yeah, my mind just, I couldn't think of a better highlight in my moment, in my life, and I figured that was it with Stargate, and then a year later, I get a phone call again, as if lightning could hit you twice, and I got... In this phone call, they were putting material together to do this special, and the person who was putting it together wanted me to come out and interview every single cast member, not of just SG-1, but Stargate Atlantis as well. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, I spent days, I went online, I had fans send me some questions, and I was on the plane writing questions, and yeah, it was insane, and I had the greatest freaking time of my life. There was a dinner scene, which unfortunately they couldn't put all of it on TV, with Michael Shanks, Chris Judge, I forgot another actor from the show, from the movie as well, I forgot his name unfortunately, and the producer of the bit, and we were in this little cavern room and talking politics and stuff. That was insane. Another great moment for me was Rachel Luttrell, when we did our interview. At the time, I think she was single, I'm not sure. But there was at least on my part, I was flirting like I lost my mind, and it was great. I think the camera chemistry was fun. It was fantastic. We had a great time.
And speaking of TV opportunities, there's a Facebook page or group right now dedicated to try and get you on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, that's another interesting little development. Fan/friend, as of now, one day messaged me on Facebook and told me that I should be on this show. I've always heard of the show, and honestly, I never had time to catch an episode of it. But once she told me, she was insisting I would be a perfect fit, I was really curious to see what she was talking about. So I started watching it, and I was like, holy crap, this show is my life to some degree. So much so, even the props on the set, there's a lamp that Sheldon has in his apartment. I have in my apartment, right behind me. So the moment I saw that, I said, you know what? I am game on this. So I wrote her back. I told her, yeah, you're right. I should be on the show. She said she was going to handle it. And next thing I know, a couple of days later, she put together this fan page, and I was totally blown away by it. A lot of effort went into putting this together, so I told her I'm 100% behind it. Bottom line, Big Bang Theory, you have to get me, Pierre Bernard, on your show as a cameo appearance.
Finally, I just wanted to ask you, like, coming from a graphic design background and not even necessarily wanting to work in television initially, and you just kind of ended up there, and now you still do the graphic design, of course, and work on the show, but you make appearances on the show, you're doing acting, you've got fans all over the world. Is it kind of surreal that you've kind of become a television performer?
You know, I would say in the early, when this first began, it was scary, because at that time, there wasn't Facebook yet, only MySpace. And I remember at that time people sending me messages wanting to know where I live, how to contact me.
Ooh.
And people were actually communicating among themselves in blogs about my background and all sorts of things, of personal stuff. And that freaked me out for a while. It was like, holy crap, my life is public in this weird manner. I think what brought it home for me was one night when I used to live in Jersey. I did this 2-hour commute, believe it or not, from Jersey to New York to work on late night. And one evening going home, I guess there was a basketball game at Rutgers University, and there were these college kids were in the station, and they were all drunk and partying. The team had just won at the Madison Square Garden. I'm thinking to myself, oh God, I hope these folks are not going on my train. It's late at night, I'm tired, I want to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But my luck, they were going on the Northeast Corridor line. I went all the way to the front of the train, got in a car that was empty, and positioned myself in a seat so that no one could come next to me, and hopefully I would be left alone. But lo and behold, that crowd got on the train, and they came to the front. They just basically were a posse. At least 100 people, and they, you know, my luck, like sitting in an empty theater and the person comes in front of you, well, they all decided they're going to sit around this one person sitting in the car, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh God, this is going to get crazy. The leader of the pack was totally wasted, and he's looking in my direction, and we made eye contact, and he starts to point, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, this is gonna be a nightmare. And he comes up to me and he's going, whoa, dude, I know you. Aren't you that guy? You're that black guy from Conan, right? And he goes, yeah, you're the Recliner Rage guy. And the entire crowd just went into a roar. And before you knew it, for the next hour, I had, I guess, 100 new best friends. The car was so packed, the conductor couldn't even come through to collect tickets, just left us alone. And after that night, I came to terms with what has happened. I acknowledged that this is cool. This is really cool. And I gotta say, I've met some really cool people throughout all of this. And again, I can't thank Conan enough. I mean, he's changed my life in such a huge way that I don't know how to put it into words to tell him thank you. This is great.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to showbizmonkeys.com visitors right now?
What I would say right now is to continue watching the show, because I have a feeling in the upcoming year, we're going to get crazy. If you thought you knew Late Night, I'm willing to say you better think again, because our show is looser. We don't have suits running around dictating to us how to do our thing, and Conan is going to be out of the box. So if you think what you've seen recently is incredible, you haven't seen anything yet. But that's a guarantee.
Showbizmonkeys.com.